We're going to take a look at Parshat B'Shalach, and I want to ask a question that seems like it belongs to next week. Next week, of course, is Parshat Yitro, and we're actually going to have shiur about the Aseret HaDibrot, but from a whole different perspective. But I'm asking a question that seems like it's a Parshat Yitro question, which is, how did Matan Torah get to be Vav Sivan? Now, I'll explain what I mean by that. If I ask you, where is Har Sinai? The answer is, I don't know. I know it's not where they think it is, but I don't know where it is, right? And that what? It does it somewhere there, but we don't know where it is. If I were to ask you more critically, when did Matan Torah happen? The answer is, I don't know. And if you look in the Torah, what do you see? You only see one thing, which is we arrived at the spot in the third month, the month we call Sivan. We have a third day, we have 7 days, we have 40 days, we have all sorts of other things, but we don't have any reference of dates. And yet, certainly it's been the case for the last 1,800 years, probably longer than that, it may even go back about 2,200 years, that you have a tradition of associating the Chag of Shavuot, which in the Torah and elsewhere, meaning little possible mentions in Yirmiyahu, is associated with agricultural festival and agricultural seasons only, as Man Matan Toratenu. And all of our Minhagim and Kriyat HaTorah and everything else is based on that. Question is, how did we get there? And I like to suggest that we actually got there through something in this week's parsha. Right? So let me start with I'm going to start seemingly backwards, but I want to start with a sugya on Masachet Shabbat. So just a little bit of off topic, but sort of an introduction to some component about Talmudic literature in general and some component about Agadah, non-halachic literature, in specific. Anybody who studied Talmud knows that the Talmud seems to be addicted to tangents. And whenever you start studying a topic, you go into all sorts of other directions. That, of course, becomes one of the handicaps, and therefore we have the Rishonim composing all sorts of codes to try to make it possible for you to read a text and figure out what to do and not have to go all over the place and follow the discussions. But one of the things that we've been doing in our Daf Yomi Shi regularly is to try to explain why particular statements, like what their relevance is. What are they doing there? And so when you ask, and we've done this in the past, why it is that we want to study the laws of Chanukah and we have to go to Masachet Shabbat, so we find the connection between the quality of the wicks and oil for Shabbat and the quality of the wicks and oils for Chanukah. If you are wondering why there is a discussion about mourning in Masechet Moed Katan, so you see that Moed Katan, which is about Chol HaMoed, talks about circumstances in which you can shave or take a haircut or do laundry on Chol HaMoed, and overwhelmingly those are all cases when you were prevented from doing it before Yontif. And so one of the cases is somebody who's an Avel. And that opens up the door to all the discussions about Avilut. And there's other tangential connections to that. And so I'm saying that because you take a look at this sugya, which is translated for you, which is the sugya about the dating of Matan Torah. And the sugya is in Masechet Shabbat, which is a little strange. Where would you expect this discussion to be in the Talmud? Well, the answer is you're right. It's kind of what? But in the Talmud, where would you expect it to be? The answer is you're right. It's really not a better place for it. There's not some preferred place that we're saying, why is it in Shabbat? Maybe you could argue in Pesachim, maybe. Right, maybe in Beitza because of the second connection to Yontif. Maybe. What's it doing in Shabbat? So the answer is an interesting tangent. The most covered malacha in Masechet Shabbat, the one that's given the most press, is the malacha of carrying things, and the violation of carrying on Shabbat in a public area or to a public area, etc. And the detail that gets the most attention there is a detail of shiurim, meaning how much makes you chayav. How much ceramic and how much wood and how much paper, every possible thing under the sun, how much straw, how much wine, there's a shiur. And we have in the ninth perek, a mention that even that we have a that the shiur of ceramic is enough to have a little bit of water in it, based on a pasuk in Yeshayahu. And then somebody else says, no, it's actually enough to stir fire, all based on that pasuk. And the idea is that the halakha is not stated in the pasuk, but it's hinted to in the pasuk. That's the phrase used. That opens up a tangent in the Mishnah to talk about all sorts of other halachot, in other areas of halakha, that we're able to infer from a hint. And one of them is a very famous piece, but not a well-known halakha, that about shichvat zera. If a man has shichvat zera come out of him, he's tameh. It's called a balkeri. But similarly, if he has relations, let's say, with his wife, and then shichvat zera comes out of her, she's also tameh as a balat keri. And the Mishnah says, how do we know that if it happens even on the third day, she's still tameah, meaning that they had relations, and on a Monday, and even on Wednesday comes out, she's still tameah, but after that, it's already considered just an excrement, not important, because we know it from Matan Torah, when Hashem said to Moshe, you have to stay away from your wives for 3 days, because on the third day, and that opens up the door to a whole long discussion about the dating of Matan Torah and where these 3 days fit in. And was it 3 days or 4 days? Was it on the third day or on the fourth day? And that's how this whole thing happens. I just want to give that as kind of introduction to what are we doing here in Masachat Shabbat, having this discussion. So now, Tanu Rabbanan. In the middle, there's a braita quoted that goes through the issue of Matan Torah. B'shishi b'chodesh nitnu aseret ha'dibrot liYisrael, meaning God's revelation. When he said, this is not giving the tablets, when he said, Anochi, the cloud coming down and saying, Anochi, happened on the 6th of Sivan. Rav Yossi Omer B'Shiva Abba, Rav Yossi disagrees, those are the 7th. Okay? And now, let's take a look at the discussion. It's all in English there. Dekuli Alma Barosh Chodesh Atul Levin Var Sinai. First of all, everybody agrees? Everybody means Rabbanan and Rav Yossi agree that they arrived at the desert on Rosh Chodesh. So the common phrase, Hachodesh Hazeh, Bayom Hazeh, Rosh Chodesh. Okay? Mal Rosh Chodesh, Avkan Rosh Chodesh. Here's another one. Everybody agrees that Matan Torah happened on Shabbat. By the way, we say that every Shabbat morning. What's the theme of Shacharit on Shabbat morning? Matan Torah. Yismach Moshe v'matnat chelko. It's all about Matan Torah.
How could Moshe carry the Torah down if he's
wild?
He didn't carry
it. He didn't carry anything. He didn't carry anything.
The Torah.
What Torah? That was 40 days later.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I mean, it's not really a question, but nonetheless, it's not a question.
But they're only saying it's Shabbat because of
the... We'll see. All right. Tiva acha zachort yom haShabbat lekadsho. What does it say in the Aseret that he wrote? Zachort yom haShabbat lekadsho. Uchtiv hatam v'yom haShalom zachort hayom hazeh. Asher yitzatem Mitzrayim. That's at the end of Bo. Remember this day that I took you out of Mitzrayim. So hayom hazeh afkan b'tzumo shel yom. Meaning when God says zachort yom haShabbat lekadsho, the idea is remember today. Just like remember today we got out of Mitzrayim. Remember today is Shabbat.
Does that mean they left on Shabbat also?
No. That's not a connection.
But the yom that you left.
No, the yom hazeh. The idea is that when God says zachor et yom hashabbat, he means remember today. Remember the day, and that's remembering today. Today is Shabbat. God's going to command you to remember the day. That means He's telling you on Shabbat. Just like when He says, "Remember the day you left Mitzrayim." On the day you left Mitzrayim. Okay, that's how the midrash works. Now, if Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan are in agreement that we arrived at Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh, and that the Torah was given, this event was on Shabbat. Where's the disagreement? Ki pligi b'kviya d'archa. They disagreed about when Rosh Chodesh was. That's the disagreement. Rabbi Yossi said Rabbi Chad b'Shabbat b'ikba y'archa. He says Rosh Chodesh was Sunday. Rosh Chodesh is Sunday. When Shabbos? 7th. Uvachad b'Shabbat lo amar lo v'lo midi. They came to Sunday. They arrived, and God didn't say anything. They're tired from the road. God's not going to bother Moshe with any commands on the first day. So the opening command, when God had Moshe come to the mountain and say, go tell Bnei Israel, I'll be your God, you'll be my people, we'll make a brit, if you accept, agree to accept it, was on Monday, the 2nd of Sivan, according to this, Rabbi Yossi.
Right.
All right. On Tuesday, he told them the mitzvah of Hagbalah, which is two kinds of separation. One is stay away from the mountain, and the other is stay away from each other. On the fourth day, he actually separated them, right? And therefore, it was on the fourth day, which is Wednesday. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they were separated for 3 days, and Shabbat was Matan Torah.
Separate.
Rabbanan, that's Rabbi Yossi. Rabbanan Savri, which, what? Why what?
Separated from wives.
From husband and wife, so that they wouldn't have relations, and then Shechadzer. Now, Rabbanan Savri, Bitre Bishvam, Ikla Yarche, which means, according to Rabbanan, Rosh Chodesh was on Monday. Bitre Bishvam, Lomar Velo Midi. Again, Monday didn't say anything, Rosh Chodesh, they just arrived. Shuchoshe de Orchab. Itlata Marlohu, Vatamshu Machab Natulim, Arba Marlohu Mitzvah Akbala, Bachamishina Avud Prisha. And the disagreement between Rabbi and Rabbanan comes down to how long were they separated from? This is what I said at the beginning of this year. Were they separated for 3 days, and on the fourth day was Matan Torah? Or were they separated for 3 days and on the third day, meaning there was a 2 day of absolute separation, the third day was Matan Torah? And that comes to a halachic discussion about the nature of Polet Shichvat Zera. But the point I'm trying to bring out is, everybody's on board with the idea that Matan Torah happened in the first week of Sivan and has a specific date for it. And the only disagreement is Vav or Zayin based on how many days of Hagbalah there were. That's it. Okay, that's the information. And we're all familiar with this because every year we celebrate Shavuot as Machag Matan Torah Teinu. We stay up all night and learn. We read Kriyat HaTorah, Matan Torah. We all sorts of things that are all related to Matan Torah. However, if you look in Sefer Shmot, where the holiday of Shavuot is first introduced, what does it say? V'chag ha-katzir, b'kurei ma'asachas, j'zav ha-sadeh. What's Shavuot? Harvest festival, right? And in Vayikra, in the Parsha of the Moadot, in Source 3, you have the mitzvah of Sfira. And what do? You count 7 weeks from when you first bring the barley offering. You count 7 weeks, and then you bring your first wheat offering, and you have a special wheat offering of 2 loaves, and that's a holiday, and there is no connection with anything historic. It's purely agricultural. So here we have, again, courtesy of Jason, here we have the questions. All right, and because we're coming close to Pesach, I put 4 questions, right? So how do we get Vav Shavuot and Vav Sivan from Matan Torah, and how did Shavuot, which is of course the same kind of same question, get connected? Okay. Also, you notice that we said in this discussion, everybody agrees Torah was given on Shabbat. So yeah, we said, Zachor HaTayom HaZeh, we had the psukim, but let's think about it. The psukim only work after the fact. Meaning, like Jason pointed out, you could use those psukim and twist them a little differently. But that means Chazal are starting with the Mesorah that Torah was given on Shabbat, and then the psukim kind of work to support it.
When you say Torah,
okay.
You're referring to
God appearing and saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. There's no physical thing you got. There's a voice. I said it that we heard. Right?
First,
well, I'm unclear. We heard all 10, we heard 2, we heard none. Good machlok.
Yeah. Does this really match up with the Bitusians saying that the Omer started on Saturday? Right? Or did they say Saturday or Sunday? They said the Mocharata Shabbat starts on Sunday.
Yeah.
So that 7 weeks later would be, well, the 49th day would be Shabbat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
But nice try. Okay, attempt here at some supporting some old sectarians who are dead. Didn't work, they're still dead. Okay, now, the last thing is, it's something that's a little unrelated, but it's going to take us to the core of our Parsha, turn the page. I believe that the answer to all these questions lies in what is the central feature of Parshat Peshalach. Now, if you were to ask anybody on the street what is the most significant thing in Parshat Peshalach, they will answer without batting an eyelash. What's a Peshalach? Remember, we're in L.A. But if you ask somebody on a street in Borough Park, let's say, or in Yerushalayim, or Bnei Brak, we were talking about earlier, they'll say without a question, Kriyas Yamsuf, Shirat Hayam. But if you look at the structure of the parasha, you will see that it starts off with a war, God's war against the Egyptians. It ends with the war against Amalek. immediately after the first war, there is a demand for water. Immediately before the last war, there is a demand for water. And smack in the middle is one perek, which is about the man. And the man is a central and vital parsha in the whole story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. And we see it because God says, we're going to look at this pasuk in a minute, I'm going to give you lechem min hashamayim to test and see whether the people will follow the Torah. So it's as if I brought you this far, let's see if I can bring any further, we're going to try a test and see if you can pass it. By the way, you passed it clearly because we moved on. And so the question I'm asking is, what kind of test is the man also? That's another piece to the puzzle. But what's the test? Why is it called a test? So let's look at the parsha. I'll ask some questions. And then we're going to just do a little bit of calendaring, as it were. Walk you through a calendar. Vayisu me'elim. This is the opening to the parsha. And again, it's all translated here. Vayavo called up Bnei Yisrael Midbar Sin. So Bnei Yisrael come to Midbar Sin. Asher ben Elim uvein Sinai. So Elim is where they last camped after Yam Suf. And Sinai is where we're going to get to. And they're in the middle between them, a desert in between them. All these areas have separate names. Evidently, there's enough dunes that separate them, so they have separate names.
Are these all oases?
No, these are just places. Are there oases there?
No, in encampments. Do you think there are oases?
It could be. B'chamisha asayom l'chodesh hasheni. What day do they arrive? They arrive on the 15th of the second month, the month we call Iyar. Right, which means they arrive exactly 30 days after they left. Right, Chamisha Asayim Chodesh Sheni. That's a date we have hard code in the Torah. There's no question about it. We arrive at this place. So that means it's fine. And they start complaining. It's not the first complaint. It's really the third complaint. The first was at Yam Suf, and the second one was at Marah. And of course, that's besides the complaints they had when Moshe's mission didn't work at the beginning. But that will put to a different place. And what do they say? Rubnei Alayim and Israel. Mi yutein vutein v'yad Adonai be'eretz Yisrael. B'shivtein al ser basar b'lacholenu lechem asova. Why didn't we just die in Egypt? We had good food there. Ki otzeitem otanu la'midbar zel mitkol ha'kol ha'zabarav. They don't mean die like be killed, but they mean like, you know, live out our lives and die in Egypt. We had the flesh pots of Egypt. Instead, you brought me out here to kill me. Lots of food. But especially meat. Right? Keeps coming. Right? But you're going to kill this entire congregation by Rav. In other words, you came and brought us out to starve us. This is the problem, is we have no food. So what's God's response? I'm going to make lechem come down from heaven. Lechem doesn't mean bread. In Tanakh, lechem means food. Okay? So food from heaven. They will go out and collect every day. I'm going to test them to see if they will follow my Torah. Which means that there's two things happening here at the same time. One is that God is answering Moshe's problem. Where's the food? I'll bring them food. Second of all, this food will then serve as a test to see if they will follow my Torah. And that seems to be, the purpose of a test, of course, is to move forward, is because, you know, we're going to move forward to our Sinai. Okay. Question is, how does that work? So now, Vayabayim HaShishi, what does God tell Moshe from the get-go? On the sixth day, Ve'echinu Tashay Aviyu, they should prepare what they bring. And it'll be a double for what they collect. Maybe they'll do a double. And they should prepare it. And we hear later, they should prepare everything on Friday because Shabbat, there won't be anything. It means to prepare it as you wish. I mean, cook it, bake it, whatever you want to do with it. Okay. Right? Because tomorrow you can't. Okay. So now, Vahiva Erev, after all of this, the talk, etc., Vahiva Erev, Vatala Slav Tchasna Machaneh. So the Slav is a different problem we're not going to touch here. Uvaboker Atashichvat Atasav Machaneh. In the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. Vatal Shichvat Atal. And then the dew evaporates. Vehine al Preamidbar Dak Mechuspas. On the ground, there's this, on the face of the desert, of the wilderness, there is this thin layer, dakak for al aretz. It's kind of like frost. Manhu. People look at it and say manhu, which might mean mazeh, like whatchamacallit, which is, I'm sure, where they got the name for the candy bar, or man, like maneh, it's a portion, Man may be an Egyptian word. A lot of different discussions of what it is. They didn't know what it was. This is the bread God gave to you. Okay, good. So they are told to not keep anything over, to eat it all up in one day, and God will give it tomorrow, etc., etc. Okay? Now, Vahi Bayom HaShishi, what happens on the sixth day? Now, what's the sixth day? How do I know that? I don't know about Shabbos yet. So what's the sixth day? How do I know about Friday either?
That they got there on Sunday.
It must be that the sixth day since this started. Sixth is an ordinal number. This means it's the, it should be the 21st day.
Not Friday.
What? I don't know. I don't know yet. I don't know yet what day of the week it is. Because I can only call something Yom Shishi or Yom Shlishi or whatever number I want to give it and have it mean a set day of the week when I have a framework of Shabbat. Otherwise, Yom Shlishi just means the third day. Third day from what? From whatever I'm counting from. It could be the third day I'm at the space shuttle or third day vacation. Right? Third from something. Vayabe Yom Shishi, Laktu Lecha Mishnah. So on the sixth day, they did what? They collected double, which means tells me now, when is Yom HaShishi? Which means what was the first day the man fell?
Sunday.
Sunday, right? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That means that the man started falling on a Sunday. One more thing about dates. What date did they arrive in the desert? It says here. 15th. And they complained. And they complained and said, no, no, no. And what did Moshe say? Tomorrow there'll be lechem. Which means when
the same day?
They arrived on Shabbos. They arrived on the 15th of Iyar, which was a Shabbat. Right?
How do we know in that year that the 15th of Iyar was a Shabbat?
Because we just worked it backwards. Think about this. They arrive, I won't pick any days of the week. They arrive in the desert on day X. Okay? I don't know what day X is. On day X, they come and complain and say, we want food. Moshe comes to Hashem. Hashem says, tell them tomorrow I'm going to give you food, which means X plus 1 is the first day of the food, right?
Right.
Agreed? Now, on the sixth day of that, there's a double portion. So that means X plus 6 is a Friday. So therefore, X is Shabbat.
I have a question. I don't really accept that the Avos knew all the halachos in terms of given. But isn't for those who do say it, wouldn't they know when Shabbat was?
Yeah, so I don't think anybody suggests that everybody knew it. Maybe it was a secret esoteric knowledge. But that's... you know what day of the week it is, but that day of the week is not relevant to you yet.
But did they know days of the week back then?
They had some system, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We don't know that they did 7 days in a week.
But it wasn't of Egyptians.
Yeah, that's much older. That's much older. No, 7 day week is a much older thing. All right, so now... what happens? They go out on the sixth day, which we now will understand from this sugya is on Friday, and the sixth day since it fell. And what do they find? They find double, right? What happens? All the leaders come and tell Moshe. There's a double, which is, by the way, going against everything you told us, which is don't keep anything over. Now there's a double, which means by definition you're going to have extra. Last year we learned the sugya of Lecha Mishneh and about the different shitot about whether on Shabbat you have two loaves or one loaf or half a loaf based on imitating this. Oh yeah, that's what God said. Shabbaton Shabbat Kodesh l'Adonai Machar. Tomorrow is a Shabbaton to God. Whatever you normally bake now. Whatever you're going to cook now. Which by the way means that they would, nor would they normally do all week. All week they take the man and they would bake it or cook it or whatever they had to do, okay? He said, whatever you're going to do with that, do today, right? And here's the surprise. Whatever's extra, leave till tomorrow, right? And they did that. And guess what? There was no worms, there was no mold, there was no nothing, unlike
the other days,
right, exactly. Okay? So now, Moshe ichlu hayom. What does Moshe say to them on that day? This is Shabbat. Ichlu hayom. Eat it today. Meaning, this is not now bread. It's going to last forever. It lasts one extra day. Eat it today. Ki Shabbat hayom l'Adonai. Today is Shabbat. Hayom lo timtzu basadeh. Today you won't find it in the field. And by the way, it says Hayom three times in there, and that's famously where Chazal get Shalosh Sudot. Okay, Hayom, Hayom, Hayom. Shesh domim tukatu, v'yom shvi shabbat lo yebo. 6 days you collect it, the seventh day it won't be there. Okay, so when did Moshe say these words? On what date?
Shabbat.
Which date?
The 22nd.
22nd of Iyar, right? Good, okay. Now what happened? Vahi v'yom shvi yatsuminam lukot v'lo matzoh. What does that mean? On the seventh day, people went out to collect, and they didn't find any. What date was that?
Shabbos.
What date was that? 29th. No, because Moshe says on, everybody's surprised, on the 21st, the first Friday that we're talking about, that there's double portion. They're surprised. Moshe says, yeah, tomorrow's Shabbaton. Then on Shabbat, Moshe comes out and says, Ichlu ayom, I showed you, it didn't go bad, and like that. And here's my command to you. Then what do we hear? On the seventh day, Tainu, the next Shabbat, people do go out to collect. By the way, it already says that they were out there and they saw there was nothing there.
Oh.
Right?
No. No. Maybe
Shabbat,
maybe they.
The next Shabbat, you mean
the 29th.
Maybe they thought
that's
that.
Right. Maybe
why?
Maybe they thought that only applied to the first week.
They were wrong. It was a C. My point is, this statement is about the second week. I'll show it to you. Because watch what happens in Pasuk Chaf Dalet. V'anicho to araboker, mikasher tziva Moshe, they left it till the morning, v'levish ma'am lahay tabo. Moshe, ichlu ayom, ke Shabbat yom ladnu, ayom lo timtzohu basadeh, sheish dom tukdu, v'yom shvi Shabbat lo yebo. Now, what should it have said next if it said, and then they went out, people went out anyways? V'yitzu b'nam.
You can't assume that this Pasuk just happened before Moshe announcing, don't go.
Lahafech. Moshe doesn't excoriate them at that point. He says, this is the deal. Now, why would it say, Vahi Bayom HaShvi'i, if it meant the same day? It would say either Bayom Ahu, or just without anything. Vahi Bayom HaShvi'i.
Did they get Bayom HaShishi the day before?
Or did they get double on Friday?
What? They got double. And nonetheless, people went out the next Shabbat, on the 29th. Yatsuminam Lekod V'lo Matzalo. They went out. And what's God's reaction to this? Why aren't you keeping my mitzvot? I've given you Shabbat. I'm giving you double on Friday. And then what happens? They all rested on Yom HaShvi'i.
You're saying that's the second week.
This is now the third week. The third week. Think about it. Just watch the psukim. Okay? The first week, they arrive on a Shabbat, and the man starts falling on a Sunday. That's the 15th of Iyar, etc. Friday, there's a double portion. Everybody's amazed. They don't know. They understand. It's double. They don't get it. And Moshe says, don't worry, don't worry. Prepare everything. Bring it tomorrow. It won't go bad. The next day, he comes and he says, celebrate. Right? There's not going to be anything in the field. And then it says, Vayhi by Yom HaShvi'i. Yom HaShvi'i is not that same day. It must be a week later. Which means they waited a week. The next Friday there was double portion, and there were still people who went out and wanted to get more. And God gets angry and says what He says, and you got to keep Shabbat. And then it says Vayishbitu Ha'am Bayom HaShvi'i is when. Do the math.
No, I know what you're saying.
Do the math. Oh, second. Do the math. What?
Okay, see how you got to the second week. Tell me you get to the third week.
Because Vayishbitu Ha'am Bayom HaShvi'i means nobody went out.
The second week
was people went out and God, excoriates them. Right? And God excoriates them. And then it says, Vayishpitu ha'am bayom ha'shvi'i. Again, every time it says bayom ha'shvi'i, it's not that same day. There's no reason.
Okay.
So it's the third week. So that means that we're now the 29th. So do the math. Let's assume for a minute, we don't have to. Assume for a minute that there's 29 days in ER. It doesn't matter here. Okay? That means that Sunday is the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, Shabbat, the 7th. That's Rabbi Yossi. Or, let's say there's 30 days in Iyar, which is exactly the machloket. That means Sunday's the 30th. Then, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, Shavuot. That's the 6th. So, what actually happens here? What's the day that they actually merit getting the Torah? The day that they demonstrate that they're able to keep the Torah. The day that they on Shabbat. That's why Chazal are so committed to the idea that Matan Torah happens on Shabbat. Because Matan Torah happens And the Torah says it. I'm giving you a test to see if you follow my Torah. So what's the test? The test is, are you going to be able to, once a week, sit back and not go out and collect? The first week it happened, they were surprised. They didn't know. The second week, some people went out to collect. Hashem excoriates them. The third week, everybody rests. Everybody doesn't go out. And that's the day that they got the Torah. And that's where we come Vav Sivan.
Observing the Torah is just one thing, a Shabbat?
No, I didn't say that. It's a test. It's a test. Are you
some
able?
Of the other things that they
of course, but it's a test. Are you able to restrain your own concerns and anxieties and appetites and everything else to follow God's law? It's a test. Test is never the whole thing. Mitch asked a good question, which is then you should really say that it would be the next Shabbat, because then one Shabbat they rested, that proved their worth and they get it. Good. And then I'm going to fall back to what Jason said, which is good. So then maybe we read it backwards and say, aha, maybe it was on that first Shabbat after Moshe said, you won't find it. Some people did go out to look for it and maybe draw the whole thing back 1 week. I can be flexible with this.
Well, I have
That's fine.
Another question.
Okay. So anyhow, I just wanted to draw it together. I'll take a question in a second. I just want to draw it together. What you see here is that even though the date of Matan Torah is absolutely not written anywhere, it's not written anywhere, and Shavuot is presented purely as an agricultural festival, if you look, using Chazal and following it through, you can actually see in the story of the Man and the very strong association between Matan Torah and Shabbat, you can see the date that we traditionally hold, Vav Sivan, as being actually in the undercurrent of the story.